Hey, John.
Hey, Jerome.
Yeah, how are you doing?
Very well, thanks. How are you doing?
Fine, thanks. How is the weather in Los Angeles?
It's a little overcast, and it's cooling off, gray skies. It's pretty good. It's like it's becoming winter, you know. It's just nice to have a season change, but where is it? Are you in Nice?
Yes, in the south of France. Yeah.
Very strange things going on in Nice, aren't there?
Yes, some terrible things with a terrorist attack. Yes.
Yeah. Well,
three dead.
My best wishes. I'm sorry to hear it's going so bad.
Yeah. I would like to say that it's an honor for me to have the chance to do an interview with you because I'm a fan since the 80s.
Oh.
I'm 50. and
<You're>
thanks. not too long. And thanks to be a part of the first interview of my new project named freeformmusic.com.
Great. No, I'm glad to help. There's a lot of downtime at the moment. I'm in the studio on Monday. And, we're recording again, yeah. But it's a long week, you know. There's it's nice
a new
to have
album?
Something to do. Yeah, you know.
Oh, yeah?
It's great. Everything's really good. It's just the lockdown thing is becoming kind of too much, you know. Just too much. I'm sure it's the same there. So, you know, just trying to get through it the best we can and come up with some new songs and hopefully be back on the road next year, you know?
Yes, we guess. We hope so. Yeah.
Yeah.
You have lots of fun here in France, huh? But
really?
I guess you know that. Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
I really don't know. We've played Europe a few times, but I don't think we ever played France. I don't think there was a lot of demand in France, but that's good to know. We were going to come and play in Holland.
Yeah.
In September, we had 10 dates in Holland.
Yeah.
And we were looking at Germany and then France and Belgium. We weren't going to play Britain. It's just a lot of trouble and extremely expensive. But we were going to come and do a European tour. But it's all been put back because of the coronavirus, so it's been
COVID, yeah.
Yeah, it's been really difficult, but maybe next year, you know.
I hope so. How do you deal with the COVID? I guess you wear a mask when you go outside?
Yeah, I wear a bandana. The mask is, I can't breathe with the mask on, but I have a bandana. I have like four or five now, and I... do that and, you know, sanitize my hands. But Santa Monica is pretty social. It's not really in lockdown. It's a small city and the restaurants are all open. You can eat on the street. Like, it's just like being in France, really. The locals, they all know each other. A lot of British people here, a lot of Irish people. And it's very nice. I mean, it's really... I have a couple of French friends. I mean, my neighbor was French. She moved out a couple of years ago. But, you know, Noelle Sabacher. And she was lovely, you know. But, I mean, it's like there's some French people here, too. A lot of Europeans come to Santa Monica.
Yeah, for sure. Here in France, we can go outside only to buy food or go to work. So if it would be impossible to read a book or listen to music, the situation could be impossible to live. That's why to be able to listen music is very, very important.
Yeah.
For me.
I think, the only up thing too, the virus is that people can get a chance to reflect and take stock. I'm reading a huge amount. I'm getting through like three books a week and listening constantly to music and painting. I'm doing a lot of painting. And but it's been, I don't think I would have the time to read if I was working on the road. You know, you're always busy and you're always bouncing around. But it's great to have a
chance
to show up on books,
And when you get outside with your bandana, I guess you connect with selected people only, no?
With which people?
With selected people to not to be exposed to the COVID.
Oh, well,
you
know,
protect you.
The last time we played was February in Florida. We did three dates in Florida. Then I went to New York City for a couple of weeks just to get some time off. Then I caught the train to L.A. I took 3 days on the train. And when I got off the train, the virus had really kicked in. And about 2 weeks after that, the lockdown came in. You couldn't go out unless you were shopping for food and stuff like that, you know. So since then, we've not been allowed to go out. We can't play. There's nowhere to play. And nobody wants to play because nobody wants to get sick. You know, if you go out, we've been offered private dates, you know, for a lot of money. You know, go out and play for 50 people for $20,000.
This is not
a little
cold.
No, yeah. Mm. It's not the same thing. So I'm just going to wait it out. I'm going to make a record in the meantime. And I'm writing a lot of songs, so it's, you know, there's a time to write and a time to go on the road. So hopefully by next year we'll be on the road, you know.
I hope so. And I'm sure that everybody remember one of your hit singles, the famous "Missing You."
Yeah.
How did you deal with the big fame when the hit single met a fantastic audience? Because a fame can be a cage sometimes.
Yes. It was great fun for about a year. You know, it was really fun. I didn't give a shit about any of it, really. You climb the mountain, and then when you get there, you realize there's nowhere else to go. I mean, I'd made a lot of money. I'd paid a lot of dues. I mean, I'd really paid a lot of dues. I didn't get paid for half the stuff that I'd done up to that point. But then I was overnight. I was number one all over the world. I was flying around on the Concorde. Everything was paid for. I bought a house. You know, and it just seemed like that was enough. And I, after about a year, I started taking a few steps backwards. I mean, it was great fun to be young and be number one and be in New York.
Oh, yeah, City. For sure. Yeah,
absolutely, knockout. But after a while, it's just that, you know. And I think I have a more introspective personality. I had a house in the country, and I would go there and stay there for weeks. And just, you know, walk in the country, me and my girlfriend. It was just really, it was beautiful. But I think that if you can keep, all I ever wanted to do was get established and then work when I wanted to, which is kind of what I've done, you know. You know, the royalties, obviously, for "Missing You" have made that possible, so I'm very grateful.
Bruce Springsteen said, "It's easy to lose yourself or never find yourself." Are you agree with these words?
Yeah, I agree with that. I think he's a very articulate guy. It depends the honesty level. You know, you look in the mirror and you see what you want to see. Or you see the truth, you know. And I think introspection isn't a bad thing, you know, to look at yourself and your values. I mean, the thing to do is to walk the walk on stage and walk the walk off stage.
Yeah.
And if you're into the bullshit and you want to be just famous and fabulous, then that's what you're stuck with, really. I know people like that. And I stay away from it. I really do. I mean, my band are red hot. We're really great. And we go out there and play, and then we go home. I don't really socialize in the music business, you know?
You have been in different bands, but it seems that you feel better alone. Am I right? Is it right?
Yeah. I think in The Babies, I was finding my feet as a writer, and I would come in with a finished song or half a song, and they would work it up. And I learned how to be a songwriter in that band. Somebody had to do it, and it was me. I was a singer, and I wrote songs. And with Bad English, it was kind of, it was all right, but it was a truce. You know, it was everybody compromising. And I think if you compromise with art, it's not that great, you know. So I think that being solo, you can move the stuff around. You can see it objectively. You can be in the moment. You don't have to rely on somebody else to be going with you in the moment. You can just write. And I think that's the most important aspect of it. I think being solo, the work is far superior, you know. That's what I think.
Well, was it a question of egos between the different members of the band? No?
Yeah. It was impossible, really. It was impossible to get work done in the end. You know, people were just, well, I didn't get on with the keyboard player, so it was kind of like, it was every day was just a problem. And in the end, you go like, fuck it, you know. I'd rather be back in New York, you know. So I left, you know. I mean, I managed it for 2 years, but there's a point when it's just not worth it, you know. I'd rather spend my time doing something that I really love, you know, that I think is going to be really great, you know. I mean, I don't want to do stuff that's halfway.
Mm-hmm.
And
for sure.
I thought that we accepted a lot of stuff that wasn't that great, you know.
Mm-hmm. And when we see your solo career after Ignition and No Breaks, Mask of Smileys seems to be a new step. I personally really love Just Like Lovers and The Choice.
Great, wonderful. I mean, that's what I said about, I mean, the No Breaks album was like full on and written very quickly and very successful. And then I had a year to write the Mask of Smiles album. And it was a softer album. It was more reflective about fame and loneliness, really. And it was an interesting album to write that when you're in the middle of the spotlight. But I thought it was a very genuine record. I mean, Just Like Lovers and Welcome to Paradise, they're really good songs. I mean, that's about as good as I get. And if I'd have had another 6 months to work on it, maybe it would have been a different record. But it was made very quickly. It was made in about a month.
Oh.
And, you know, and I really, it was really in the moment. I knew what I was writing about, you know.
Yeah, you have all the things right in your mind.
Yeah, it was like life and art were a mirror. You know, it was like I was writing about what my life was, so it was easy to do.
And with The Hard Way, you made something more electrical, back to roots. No?
Yeah. I think. The Hard Way was a strong record. It was, you know, each one of the records I make, I really throw myself into it. And they've all made in different situations. Temple Bar was made in New York City and was about leaving a band and becoming back into my world. It was a very intense record, probably my best record. And then there was When You Were Mine, which was more of a roots record, still in New York City. But I'd driven across America in my Jeep. I had a Cherokee Jeep, and I drove down to New Orleans. Yeah,
great.
And I drove, and I drove down to New Orleans, and then back up through Ohio, and listened to the radio, and then wrote that record. And then, you know, Figure in a Landscape, that was written in L.A. They're all different records, but they all seem to fit together. So there isn't one record I've made that I think is better than the other. They're all very serious attempts at trying to get it right.
Yeah, there are live sessions in others' albums too. Do you have tested some new singles during live show in some clubs or in some clubs?
Do you mean try new material?
Did you tested some new singles?
No.
No.
I just, you find, if you, we, We do throw the odd song in. I mean, I do test to see, but it usually happens in the encore or right in the middle of the set when the audience is just ready for anything. But if the song is a slower song, it's hard to test it on an audience unless you're doing an unplugged show.
Yeah.
So you do really intimate 500 seats, storytellers almost, you know. And you can introduce new material at that point. But I always do. I always throw a couple of songs in there, like Dylan songs. And, you know, there's folk songs that I love. I mean, a lot of my influences are really from, like, blues, folk, some country. But it all comes from roots music. So it's all got a kind of cohesion, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's difficult for me to say I don't like one of your albums because I love all of them. In fact, always great ballads, romantic songs. Before the call, I was listening Mr. Wonderful.
Ah,
yeah, very very nice song too.
Yeah, that was Ivan Kroll. Yeah. Me and Ivan Kroll, who died 2 years ago. And it was a big shock. Ivan was my my connection in New York City when I moved there. I met Ivan. He was from Czechoslovakia. He was playing with Iggy Pop at the time, and he'd been in Patti Smith's band. He wrote "Dancing Barefoot" with Patti Smith. So he was really genuine and very well read and a decent guy. I liked him a lot. We were great friends, and I was very sorry to see him die. I got the phone call and it shocked me. I didn't expect that. But Mr. Wonderful is probably the best thing we wrote together. we wrote a lot of songs, Dreamtime, and Every Step of the Way. Every Step of the Way is nice, you know. Great guy. I miss him. Yeah.
I guess that the live shows miss you.
Well, I hope so. We've had a lot of offers to go back on the road next year, but I don't know if it's going to be next year or the year after. I don't know what's going on. Everybody's confused at this point. I mean, the election is on Tuesday.
Yeah.
Nobody knows which way that's going to go. It's going to be very tight, whoever wins. And we're all kind of worried. I voted 2 days ago. But whatever the outcome of the election, I think that's going to determine what happens next year pretty fast. And there'll be a vaccine. They're talking about a vaccine being available in December. So everybody could get a vaccine and we could be right back to work in February. I just don't know what's happening. So
I don't know. It will be in December. No. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, it was in the paper yesterday. It might be December. So, you know, you cling on to what you think is good news at this point. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Because, yes, the situation in the U.S. is a little bit complicated. People buy a lot of guns. The president is ready to contest the results of the election.
No matter who wins, it's going to be a lot of violence. There was a near riot here in Santa Monica about 4 months ago. A demonstration for Black Lives Matter turned into smashing windows and looting stores, and the National Guard got called out the next day. We had the National Guard in Santa Monica, and that's Santa Monica. In Portland and in New York City, Detroit, there's some shit going on now that's like, it's almost civil war. You know, if somebody doesn't calm it down, things are going to take a huge downturn. I mean, if you'd have said 4 years ago when Obama was president, that this country will be on the verge of civil war 4 years from then. Nobody would have believed you. Nobody would have believed that possible. But that's where we are. It's time to straighten up, fly right, get this straight. Yeah.
And what is the best way to support artists like you, if you don't think about the COVID, to see you at live shows, buy CDs or vintage records,
you can go on Facebook, John Waite on Facebook. That's that's pretty popular. And I do art. I actually make art, and you can buy art. You can buy CDs, T-shirts, anything, really. The internet's been great. Twitter, and there's John Waite Worldwide, which is the actual .com. That's the site. But, you know, in the meantime, we might do a concert just on the internet, just to keep people... I mean, the reason I'm going back in the studio now is because people don't have music. So I'm trying to get something out so people can have something to listen to in the meantime, you know. Good for me, good for them, hopefully, you know.
Yeah, yeah. I have a question about your discography. Why can't we find the complete collection of your different albums depending on which platform we subscribe on?
I have no idea. I mean, Universal own
design,
for the records.
Yeah.
And they do whatever they want. And the records since then are available on all platforms, iTunes, streaming, anything like that. Universal seem to think it's okay just to not put the records out, or they have an argument with you and then they withdraw the I mean, they're pretty childish. And I have no time for them. I just moved on, you know. I really, Universal, no thanks. It's like the dark side, you know, and the dark side in Star Wars, you know, that's Universal,
This is a relation in one sense, a monologue, not a discussion between you and them.
Well, I've done my best. I've tried to... you know, I had the rights come back to me for Ignition about 3 years ago, and I owned it. Because you're supposed to get your masters back in, you know, 30 years or whatever. And then they changed their minds and took it back. And then they deleted it. So that's how clever they are, you know.
Yes, because here in France, Deezer have some albums from you, and Spotify, other ones. So it's maybe difficult to find the complete.
Well, I mean, that's up to the record company that might own those masters. There are people like Chrysalis and that are owned by Universal, and that's right back to that again. I have no idea how they operate. I mean, they're such a big company, they don't know what they're doing. The smaller stuff gets away from them. So they're more concerned now, I think, with publishing. Makes more money, yeah.
I personally learn English by listening song in English, but at the beginning, I made my own translation, not with the right words, but what I thought when I was listening song in English. Sometimes the language can be a barrier, but everybody imagine what he wants in the song, in fact.
Yeah, well, that's a good point. Yeah, the sound of the words. It's like, I'm a big fan of poetry, and Charles Baudelaire, your marvelous poet, Arthur Rimbaud. I mean, if you look at the translations, it's never what the artist intended. If you could hear Charles Baudelaire speaking his poetry, you would hear the sound and the music and the punctuation in it. But if you don't hear it, you're not going to understand the words. You can read the words, and they won't really mean as much unless you hear it. And you can't translate, really. I don't think you can translate poetry or lyrics or even literature fully.
It's a feeling.
You know, unless you're extremely gifted, you know. You know, I read George Simenon, you know, the Inspector Maigret books, more French stuff, and it's great, you know. But you often wonder if the translation is what it's intended to be, you know, because words are their own kingdom, you know. A word is a beautiful thing, and it means what it means, but it might have two meanings, and it's got music in it. So if you can get the vibe off the music, that's everything to me. That transcends the lyric, you know?
And do you think that the young generation have to know the basics of rock and roll?
Well, it's only music. I mean, how many times can you hear Johnny B. Goode? There was a point, the point in the 80s and late 70s, where if you climbed out of the audience to jam with the band, everybody played Johnny B. Goode. I mean, how many times can you? It's a fantastic song. But how many times can you listen to that? I think when I listened to Dylan, he said that a lot of it is Protestant hymns. The melodies come from that. I don't know. I mean, I heard of somebody, a contemporary singer that I didn't think was that great the other day. I saw a picture of her, and she's always, like, dressed up. And then I heard one of her songs on the radio, and it was absolutely beautiful. And so you don't judge a book by its cover, and every kid has his own roots, and he doesn't want to sound like his dad. Nobody wants that. Every generation has a way of explaining itself and declaring itself. So the roots, music, you know, it's like saying, what's jazz? You know, I mean, what is jazz? It's everything but the notes that it's everything that isn't in the root note. You play around it.
It's a culture.
You invent all these different melodies, you know. So that's it's an experience that you have when you're playing and singing and writing music that transcends the form. You're actually stepping out into something that's incredibly vivid and open. And whether the kid today is thinking about U2, which is a fairly recent band, or is thinking about, I don't know, anybody that came out of the 80s, me, you know, does that make him any less? He's having a profound experience. I think that the music business has become incredibly commercial, and there's not a lot of room for originality. If you don't make product, they're not going to give you a shot. So I don't like that one bit. I never did. And it limits art, you know. You should let the artist run. But back to Universal, that's what they want to release. But God bless, you know, if you're writing songs and you're convinced that it's somewhere, you're trying to be original. If you can be original in any which way, then you've succeeded. But if you just want to sound like what's popular, then you're just a product yourself.
And do you think that in 2021 and after, the world of new music will have to reinvent itself?
Yeah, it always does. I mean, it might go right back to some, it's like Sigur Rós, like something you don't expect, which is a beautiful sort of formless kind of suggestive music. And then you have people like Radiohead. You have, all these artists that almost think like painters. And that's a tremendous step forward from what was going on in the 60s. I mean, it's like unimaginable. You know, it's almost symphonic. So I think, personally, I think opera is going to come back. I think something like opera is going to be tremendous. But, I mean, it's like the last frontier of popular music. So maybe kids will get into Beethoven. And, you know, I don't know, Paganini, whoever. I mean, opera and classical music, you know.
You never thought to do something symphonic?
Putting an orchestra together is a very expensive thing. But I'm pretty independent. I don't have that kind of money behind me. I'm just touring and doing my thing and releasing music. But it would be lovely to have that experience, you know. It's a big thing.
And can I? Is it possible to know what you are listening in? Yes. Actually.
What am I listening to? Let me have a look. Well, I listen to a lot of Bill Evans. I'm quite a fan of Bill Evans, the keyboard player. I really love Bill. And I listen to bluegrass, some bluegrass occasionally, but a lot of classical music. A lot of classical, really, honestly. That's what I go for. I still love Free, Paul Rogers' old band with Andy Fraser. I still love that very simple blues stuff. Big Bill Brunsey, Howling Wolf, Lead Belly. Bob Dylan. I can spend time with Bob Dylan and really just like transport myself somewhere else. It's challenging, and yet it's kind of, it's what it is. I mean, it's a, Dylan is probably the one I would go to time and again, that and Jimi Hendrix,
And what do you think about the Gallagher's brothers and their two careers, Liam and with the Gallagher's
Gallagher brothers. Yeah. Well, they're from Manchester, and I'm from Lancaster, which is like 20 miles away. So I think we have the same sense of humor. I watch it from a distance, and it makes me laugh, you know. It really does. It makes me laugh. And it just makes me laugh. Some of it's great. I've really enjoyed it. I think he handled it very well.
They both do some good records.
Yeah, they do. They really do. And they came out such a long time ago. You think it's still recent. But it's like 25 years ago or something. But, they did really well. And I think they shook things up. And I was glad somebody from Manchester, there was Morrissey, there was these different bands that were like, you know, very powerful that came out of Manchester. So I was pleased for that, the Northwest, you know. It was like the Beatles, you know.
Yeah. And you were born in UK, 4th of July, and you are now an Englishman who lives in America. Was it a sign to be born on the 4th of July? And
well,
one
it was
day...
interesting. It was pretentious. It was because it told. I always was in love with American music, you know, from a very early age. It was country and western and cowboy music. It was like Frankie Lane and Marty Robbins. They were the biggest things in my life when I was five. It was cowboys and Indians, and then that. And then it was rock and roll. So I always felt familiar and attached to America. Being born on the 4th of July is quite interesting, you know. But I got an American passport last year. So now I've got dual citizenship. I'm British, but I'm also American. Yeah. So it's, interesting.
For sure. And what are your hopes for America for the next months?
I hope that the right man wins. I hope that people have enough sense to stop. I think the great thing about America is that it's a lot of different people living together. And up to this point, it's more or less worked. And I lived in Manhattan for 20 years. And every nationality, excuse me, in the world was living side by side. It's not impossible. People get on. You know, they want to get on. I'm not sure about the right. I'm not sure about the left. But I hope that we can sing the same song together, you know, because it's the only one we've got, you know.
It could be sometimes difficult if he contests the results.
I'm no doubt. There's no doubt in anybody's mind that if the president loses, he's not going to accept it. So I think there's a lot of trouble about to happen, no matter what happens, really.
So there is a good thing to announce. A new album is coming in 2021.
Am I what?
A new album from you in 2021 is coming.
There'll be a couple.
This is a good news.
That's the good news. There's going to be an acoustic Wooden Heart. The last two releases I've had were called Wooden Heart, and they're acoustic songs, and acoustic hits and acoustic songs that I love. There'll be one more of those, and then there'll be another EP of electric songs. So two releases coming up very soon.
Okay. And do you know if it will be on spring or summer?
I have no idea. I think it's going to come out hopefully somewhere around January. I mean, I'm in the studio on Monday, and we work really fast. And once that's done, it's just the artwork and making the album into a physical product, you know?
Okay, so I don't want to disturb you too much. I will like really to thank you so much for your time and your words for the little fan I am.
Oh, great! I enjoy speaking with you. It's always nice to speak to somebody French. I tend to read such a lot of French literature, and I've been to France a few times, and I've really enjoyed it. I like the French, and I like French culture. I'm sorry to see that it's going through such a hard time with the terrorism, but we've had our problems here too. And but I know it's a very severe time for France, but it's a beautiful country, and it, you know, liberty, man. Free speech, liberty.
French, liberté d'expression.
Absolutely. I hope so. And anyway, this was very nice to speak to you. And you've got my email. Stay in touch.
Yeah.
I mean, let me know how it comes out. You know.
Yeah. Yeah. No problem. I will keep you in touch.
Thank you.
And I thank you too. And really take care. Stay away from the COVID, please.
Yes.
Because,
Jerome, the same to you. Yeah. Stay safe, stay well, and
thanks.
We may meet next year. You never know.
Yeah, for sure. Cross
okay.
fingers. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, well, God bless.
God bless you too.
Thank you, Jerome. See you soon.
See you soon. Bye-bye, John.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Bye. Bye.